Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Rosh Hashanah Daf Hey. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 7 lines from the bottom of Daf Hey. Before we begin the actual shiur, we have a topic heading that you see on the side of the Gemara that we call the Nosei. And we've written Hezber Leho Dikotoni Liel Sof Dalet Amud Aleph. We're going to explain that which was found at the bottom of Daf Dalet Amud Aleph, De Pesach Bebal Ta'acher. V'harei Pesach kovua liyom echad, yudalid nisan v'sulo. In the source that we saw there, it seemed to indicate, upon superficial reading, that a korban Pesach is subject to Baal Ta'achir, which would mean that if you don't bring the korban Pesach on its appointed date, then you have a certain amount of time. We saw a lot of opinions of how much time that is, if it's 3 holidays or 3 holidays in order, or 1 holiday or Sukkot or whatever, but you have a certain amount of time in which to bring that korban. But how can that be? A korban Pesach is fixed at Yud Dalid Nisan, the 14th of Nisan, and that's it. It's not as if you have a certain amount of time in which to bring it. So the Gemara opens up, as we said, 7 lines from the bottom. Pesach bar mikrav beregolim hu, is the korban Pesach something that lends itself to being offered during the upcoming holiday? In other words, Baal Ta'achir states that if you dedicated something to the Beis HaMikdash, so bring it to the Beis HaMikdash the next time you come to the Beis HaMikdash on the next holiday. We are expected to appear 3 times a year in the Beis HaMikdash. So bring it the next holiday, or if it's a matter of 3 holidays, within the next 3 holidays. But the Pesach doesn't lend itself to being offered during the upcoming holiday. Pesach zimno keviolei. The Korban Pesach has a fixed time. Kavua, kavia means a fixed, established time, which is the 14th of Nisan. E akrevei, akrevei. If you offered it, then you offered it, then good. The eloi, akrevei. If you didn't offer it, then itchilei. So you're cast aside, you're pushed off. In other words, you lost your chance, you blew it. So how are we to make sense of the Braisa on Daf Dalet Amud Aleph that lists a number of items, including the Pesach, as being subject to Baal Ta'achir? And just to repeat ourselves, the suggestion that it's subject to Baal Ta'achir means that you have a certain amount of time in which to yet bring it. That's not appropriate for a Korban Pesach. Answer number 1. Omar Rav Chisda, Pesach Kedi Nasba. Pesach was brought, it was cited for no reason. In other words, it doesn't really belong in the source. Number 2, Rav Sheshes Amar, my Pesach. Rav Sheshes explains that the word Pesach is not a reference to the Korban Pesach proper, but rather Shalmei Pesach. Now, in order to appreciate what this means, we look at Rashi. Shalmei Pesach, B'shelo Korav Bizmano. Imagine a person who didn't offer his Korban Pesach on time. Why? She'ovad v'niskaper bi'achir. Because this particular Korban Pesach got lost, and he used a replacement animal for his official Korban Pesach obligation. So, and now this one that was lost, that he subsequently found, who nasis shlomim kinaflam pupsachim voisin shlomim yichron shloshim regolim over. When he finds the lost Korban Pesach, it then turns into a Korban Shlomim. Ihachi. Well, if that's the explanation of Pesach, Hainu Shlomim, then it is a Korban Shlomim. And the Braisa on Daf Dalid mentioned Korban Shlomim as well as being subject to Baal Ta'achir. In fact, if you look back on Daf Dalid, Omen Aleph at the bottom line, in the middle of that last line you see the word Ushlomim, and at the end of that line you have the word Pesach. And if you're explaining that the word Pesach at the end of the line is referring to, we'll call, a metamorphosized Korban Pesach into a Shlomim, but Shlomim is already mentioned in that source as being subject to Baal Ta'achir, so why repeat it? The Gemara answers, Tono Shlomim Haboin Machmas Pesach, V'tono Shlomim Haboin Machmas Atzmon. The Tano teaches two kinds of Korban Shlomim. And you'll ask, why is that necessary? The first one is Shlomim Haboin Machmas Pesach. That's a reference, that's what the word Pesach referred to. It's the Shlomim that come as a result of a Korban Pesach. And the word in the middle of that line, the bottom line of Daf Dalet, Omid Aleph, is a standard Korban Shlomim that comes on its own merit, that one dedicated on its own, straight off as a Korban Shlomim. Well, I have two examples. Why do I need both? Salka daito chamina, I would have thought, had I just taught shlomim, I would have thought, hoyu umachmas pesach kaasu, since this case of the lost pesach and subsequently found case, true, it's a shlomim, but its root is as a korban pesach, comes as a result of having been a korban pesach. We continue at the top of Omid Beis, Kepesach Domu. It would have the din of a Pesach, meaning that the first holiday that passes, he would already be in violation. Just like the Korban Pesach is attached to a holiday that immediately follows it, so too this Shlomim Aboin Machmas Pesach, there would be an immediate holiday violation if he doesn't bring it. Komash Malon, so we are taught that that's not the case, but that rather, once it turns into a Shlomim, even though its root is as a Korban Pesach, it has the standard rules of Baal Ta'achir as applied to all other examples. Before we continue in the Gemara, we have a topic heading. On the side, we note under the Nosei that we will see here a Braisa Shedereshes HaPosuk in Dvorim Perek Chav Gimel Posuk Chav Beis Shel Baal Ta'achir. That Posuk features in it the prohibition of Baal Ta'achir. And we will read the Posuk together. As we said, it's Dvorim Perek Chav Gimel Posuk Chav Beis. And it says, Ki Sidor Neder Lashem Elokecha. You can see we have this written on the side, that when you vow a vow to the Almighty, Lo Sachir Lishamo, do not delay in paying up. Ki Dorosh Yidroshenu Hashem Elokecha Me'imoch V'hoyo V'chochein. Hashem will seek it out from you, and if you don't bring it, so you will bear sin, a sin. Now you'll notice in the Gemara text itself, the pasuk appears, it's broken down into phrases, and we've underlined each phrase so that if you follow along the underlinings, you can see that the pasuk is accounted for. Ki sidor neder, Lashem Elokecha, lo sachir lishamo, ki doro shidreshenu, Hashem Elokecha meimoch, v'hoye b'chochet. No, those are all the underlinings. The phrases, each phrase of this pasuk has significance, and that's what the Braisa will demonstrate. Following the Braisa, you notice the expression Omar Mar. The Gemara will then analyze certain parts of the Braisa to offer further explanation. So now the Gemara. Mino Hani Mili. From where do we know that all the items mentioned in the Braisa back on Daf Dalet Omid Aleph? There was quite a list of items, that all of those items are subject to Baal Ta'achir. Where do we know that from? So the Gemara says, to Tonu Rabbanon, Ki Sidor Neder, Ein Li Elo Neder. A Neder is a situation where a person says, Hare Olai korban so-and-so. Holah means I accept upon myself a personal obligation. And along with that means if something happens to the sacrifice before you actually bring it to the Beis HaMikdash, you have accepted personal responsibility to make good on it. So the Pasuk talks about a neder, that kind of vow or that kind of dedication is subject to Baal Tacher. Nedava minayin. What about a different kind of dedication? A nedava is a situation where a person points to a particular animal, and his own animal, and he says, "Hare zu korban shlomim," or korban ola. He points to the animal, not accepting upon himself personal responsibility, but rather simply designating the animal. That's a nedava type vow or donation, dedication. Minayan, from where do we know that that kind of dedication is also subject to Baal Tachir? Answer, Ne'mar Kan Neder. Well, in our Pasuk of Baal Tachir, the word Neder appears. V'nemar lahalon, it says elsewhere, a different Pasuk says, Im Neder Oy Nedova. Ma lahalon nedava imo, just like over there, together with neder as accompanies the nedava. Afkan, so to here where the word nedava doesn't appear explicitly, but since the word neder over there is accompanied by nedava, afkan nedava imo, so to understand, it's understood that a nedava is accompanying neder in with regard to the halacha of do not delay of Baal Tacher. Lashem Elokecha. That's from our posuk, Elu, the posuk that says vows that you make to the Almighty. The expression Lashem Elokecha implies something that only the Almighty receives, which means that the Kohanim don't eat from it, don't derive personal benefit from these dedications. So what dedications are characteristic of Lashem Elokecha? Elu Hadomim Ho'erichin V'Hacharomin V'Hagdeshois. These are all these different kinds of dedications that are made to the Bedek Habayis, to the Temple Repair Fund, to the Beis HaMikdash Building Fund, which is money that goes exclusively to the Beis HaMikdash and not something from which the Kohanim benefit. So there were four items: Domim, Erechim, Charomim, and Hekdeshos, different types of dedications. All of these points, by the way, were featured in the Braisa back on Daf Dalid, Omid Aleph, and that's what we're doing here, finding sources for all those items that they're all subject to Baal Tacher. The Pasuk says, Lo Sacher Lishalmoi, Hu Velo Chilufov. That's an obscure or vague expression which we'll have to deal with later. Ki dorosh yidreshenu. Kodesh Baruch Hu will seek it out. Now, that indicates that we're dealing with some type of sacrifice that is of an obligatory nature. This is in contrast to Nedorim and Nedavos. Mentioned earlier, these are obligatory. And what do they include? Elu, Chatos, Vashamos. These are different types of sin offerings that when one sins in certain areas, he is obligated to bring these kind of sacrifices, Chatos and Hashamos. Oilois Ushlamim. These are the Olas Re'iyah and the Shalmei Chagiga. These are holiday sacrifices. And Ola, generally speaking, is a korban that's completely burnt on the Mizbeach. But you know that an Ola can be brought also voluntarily. Here, since we're dealing with obligatory sacrifices, what kind of Ola is this? This is the Olas Re'iyah, the Ola that one brings when he comes to the Beis HaMikdash three times a year. And likewise, the shlomim here is not the voluntary shlomim that one might electively dedicate, as we saw earlier, but this is the shalmei chagiga, a korban shlomim that's obligatory for one to bring on the holidays. Hashem Elokecha. The words, the names of Hashem, Hashem Elokecha, Elu Tzedokos Umaisrus Ubechor. And Rashi points out that the appearance of Hashem Elokecha, it seems to be extra, because just a couple words before in the pasuk you saw Lashem Elokecha. So why is that repeated? So Rashi says this is a kroyasera. This is an extra. This is something extra, and the term Hashem Elokecha you find elsewhere in the Torah in the context of Stoka and in the context of Meiser. And Rashi quotes the sources. Hence, our Gemara is telling you that the Hashem Elokecha here is a reference to the Tzedakus and Meisers and Bechor. Me'imcha. Ze leket shikope. These are different tithes that one leaves in his field for the poor. And the word me'imcha, you find the word imcha in the context of these matnosanim, these gifts to the poor. And Rashi once again quotes the relevant pasuk. V'hoya b'chochet, that appeared in our pasuk, Dvarim Chav Gimel Pasuk Chav Beis. What does that mean? It means if one delays, b'cho means in you, you will be considered sinning, v'lo b'korbon cho chet. But the sacrifice that you delayed is not inherently ruined. The korban itself is a kosher korban. It's that, and still bring it, but you, in the meantime, have violated Baal Tachir. So the pasuk is telling us that the transgression of Baal Tachir is a human-centered transgression, but has no bearing on the actual sacrifice itself. Omar Mar. Now we quote from above. If you have any trouble finding this quote, use the arrow to the side. Omar Mar. Lo sa'achir l'shalmoi. That is the quote from the pasuk. Hu v'lo chilufov. Chilufov, word l'achlif, is to exchange something. So the pasuk is saying that do not delay. That applies to the korban itself and not its chilufov. So the Gemara asks, chiluf e mai, what exchange of what? So in order to figure out what this is referring to, you'll notice there are a number of stages of analysis, and the double underline indicates thusly. On the side we have under our Mivne heading, the double underline is featured. These are shlavim, levayer, mahu chilufov, stages of analysis to figure out what is meant by chilufov in this context. So the Gemara goes on. E chilufei oila ushlamim. Rashi, chilufei oila kigon ovda v'hifreshach cheres tachteha v'niskaper bo v'achar kach nimtza rishona. A person who had set aside and dedicated a korban oila or a korban shlamim, and before he brought it, it got lost. And he brought a replacement one for the one that got lost. And then he found the original one. So we're referring now to that. So if the chilufei ola is what this source is telling me, mikrav karvi, they are offered as sacrifices, as anyway, as a standard sacrifice. And since it's something that's those original animals that you subsequently found after having fulfilled your obligation with a replacement one, but they are these the original ones that you now found are regular sacrifices, and therefore the din of Baal Tachir should apply to them as well. Why would they be excluded? So obviously it's not talking about that. Rather, e chilufei chatos, if the pasuk is saying that lo sacher l'shamo, don't delay bringing your original korban, and not chilufei chatos, that Baal Tachir doesn't apply to that. What's first of all, what is chilufei chatos? That would be a case similar to what we just described. You had a chatos, a sin offering obligation. It got lost. You got your kapora, your atonement, through another one, and then you found the original chatos. Well, the law that applies to this scenario, this case, is that the original chatos that you now recovered, it is not brought. It's set aside till it dies. Well, that being the case, so of course Baal Tachir doesn't apply to it. Baal Tachir means don't delay in bringing it as a sacrifice. But the chilufei chatos isn't going to be brought as a sacrifice. Lemisa azla. It is set off to die, and it therefore is obvious that there's not going to be Baal Ta'achir, a shayach to it, that's relevant to it. So I don't need a pasuk to exclude that. Elomai chilufav. So what does chilufav mean? Chilufe toida. The Rashi gives an example. Chilufe toda. Toda is the name of a korban toda. Ukagon shinis arva berishona. V'kaimulon al zevach atoida chalos atoida tun olechem v'lo chalifasa v'lo tumurasa tun in lechem. What we're describing is a case of a person who has set aside a korban toda. A korban toda is a sheep. Along with the sheep, the Torah says you bring 40 loaves of 40 baked loaves that accompany the korban toda. Now, we have someone that set aside or dedicated an animal, a sheep, as a korban toda, and along with that, 40 loaves need to be brought. However, it got lost, and then you found it, and in the meantime, you had set aside a replacement korban toda. The replacement korban toda, in this case, where you have the original one and the replacement one does not require 40 loaves to be brought. So now we continue in the Gemara. Detoni Rabbi Chiya. Toda shenis arva betumurasa umeso achas mehen. If a korban toda got mixed up with its tumura. Tumura is a situation where you replicated the kedusha of a korban onto another animal. That's called a tumura, and that's something, by the way, one is not allowed to do, but if he did it, he did it, and it becomes a tumura. But the halacha is that even though you bring a tumura, a replicated animal, as a sacrifice, the replicated sanctity animal is brought, but in the case of a toda, the loaves are not brought with it. But now here we have a case where the toda, the original korban toda, got mixed up with a tumura. So I don't know which is the original and which one is the tumura. And one of them died. So the source says, Ein lo takona. The remaining animal has no solution. You see, if both of them were alive, I would simply bring both as sacrifices and bring 40 loaves and say that these loaves are dedicated to the one, even though I don't know which one it is, but it's to the one that is here that is the official, the original Toda. But now when one of them dies, the replacement, the other one, has no solution. Hechi levid, what should I do? Likriva v'likriv lechem b'hadah. Should I offer the surviving, the remaining toda and the 40 loaves with it? Dilma tumura hi. Maybe the one that survived is the tumura, and it doesn't have 40 loaves brought with it. Likriva v'lo lechem. Should I offer the surviving animal without breads? Dilma toda. Maybe it's the original one. It requires breads. The Gemara asks, Veha kevon delav bas hakrovahi. This situation that we just described, the chilufei toda situation that we just described, where there had been two of them and one died, and I don't know which one it is, and we're telling you that you don't offer it. Kro limute lomali. What do I need a pasuk? The pasuk that we that we're darshening now, lo sachir l'sham uhu v'lo chilufav, to exclude it when it's not brought in the first place. Something that I don't bring in the first place, so I don't need a pasuk to exclude it from Baal Ta'achir. Of course it's not going to be subject to Baal Ta'achir. It's not brought to begin with. Omar Rav Sheshes. This is stage 4. Li oilom limute chilufei oila ushlomim. We are excluding them, the chilufei oila ushlomim. Again, that was the case where you had lost the original one, fulfilled your obligation of oila ushlomim with a replacement one, and then found the original ushlomim
originally when we saw this, we thought, well, why should it be excluded from Baal Tachir? It's offered as well. It is a regular korban. So we v'hocha b'mayaskinon, and here in this source that's coming to exclude chilufei olam shlomim, we are talking about a special case. Kagon she'avru alav shnei regolim v'humam. The cases where the animal was around, it had not been brought as a sacrifice for two holidays, and it then developed a blemish, v'chilulo al achir, and then I transferred the sanctity onto another animal. A blemished animal cannot be brought as a sacrifice, so I transferred the sanctity onto another animal. We'll call this a replacement animal. The ovar olav regel echad. So this is our chilufei ola. The chilufei ola being the result of original animal becoming blemished and its sanctity transferred after two holidays went by, and we speak about two, we're talking about the idea of Baal Ta'achir being violated only after three holidays go by and you haven't brought it yet. So in the meantime, two holidays have gone by, it developed a mum, became blemished, and I sanctified a replacement animal that we're calling the chilufei ola. The avar olav regel echad, and one holiday went by and I haven't offered the replacement one. So now, if you look at the total picture, three holidays have gone by. Salka daita chamina. Without this source, I would have thought, hoyol umikoyach kamo ka'osi. Since it's a replacement one, coming as a result, as a derivative of the original one. And now, if you look at things in terms of the original one, how many holidays have gone by? Three holidays have gone by. Keman di avru alav shlosha regolim domi. It's as if three holidays have gone by, and that would make the owner in violation of Baal Tachir, even with regard to this new replacement animal. Komash malon. The source above is telling us that is not so, but rather the clock starts all over again. It starts all over regarding this replacement animal that I sanctified through the original one having become a Baal Mum. Now this scenario that, by the way, we featured with a volcano marking, Hocha B'Mayaskinon, a few lines above, and on the side, you'll notice under our Mivneh heading, we've written Hocha B'Mayaskinon, Hezberim L'tshuva Sagamora. We're coming to explain the Gemara's answer before of Limute Chilufei Oilo Ushlamim. What does that mean? So we explained it. But in order to accept this explanation, you have to assume that Baal Ta'achir is violated with the passage of three holidays. With that premise, we then were able to present the scenario of two holidays having gone by, and then it became a Baal Mum, and then I transferred the sanctity onto a replacement animal. However, let us say you hold like Rebbe Meir, that said Baal Ta'achir is violated upon the passage of merely one holiday. So the above explanation wouldn't have any validity for Rebbe Meir. So that's the Gemara's next question. Ula Rebbe Meir, the Omar, Kevan Sha'avar Olav Regel Echod, Oiver Baal Ta'achir, according to Rebbe Meir, who said that with the passage of one holiday, he's already in violation of Baal Ta'achir, Ma'iko Lameimar. What are you going to say? How are you going to explain the source above according to the opinion of Rebbe Meir? Omar Ravos, Rav answers, Hocha B'mayaskinon, the case above that we darshened lo sacher l'shamu hu v'lo chilufov kegon shehumon besoy choregel. A person had dedicated a korban ola or shlomim and it became blemished in the middle of the holiday v'chiluloi, and he transferred kedusha al acher onto a replacement animal. This is our chilufei ola.
the Ovar Olav Horegel, and from the middle of the holiday till the end of the holiday now passed. So the full holiday has gone by, and he hasn't offered the original, he hasn't offered the replacement animal yet. Salka daita chamino, without the drosha above, of lo sacher lishamo, without that drosha, I would have thought, hoyul umikoyach kamo ka'asi, since it is a derivative of the original animal, kamanda ovar ole kule regel domi. We would view it in our mind's eye, as if a full holiday went by, and I haven't brought it yet. Kolmash Molon, what the source above tells us when we read Lo Sach L'Shamu Hu V'Lo Chilufov, is that the clock starts all over again once you transfer the Kedusha onto the new replacement animal, so that you get another full holiday before you would be over on Baal Ta'acher. Here we continue with another quote from above. And following this quote, you see at the end of the line a diamond, and on the side of the Gemara we have our Nosei Mivne heading. The diamond is featured, and they represent Kushios. There's a diamond here, and you'll notice at the very end of this staff another diamond. These are questions. Legabi ha dekotoni bebraisa deliya, regarding that which we saw in the braisa before, v'haya b'chachet, v'lo b'korban chachet, which we explained at the time that when one is in violation of Baal Ta'acher, the person, the owner, is in violation, but it doesn't adversely affect the actual animal itself. The Ein HaKorban Atzmoy Nifsal Im Ovar Olov BeBaal Ta'acher, the animal itself is not ruined, is not invalidated as a result of the owner having violated Baal Ta'acher. Harei, the Gemara is going to ask, Din Zeh Nilmad Mimikuru Sachirim, that's learned from other sources, that the original sacrifice is not ruined by the owner being in violation of Baal Ta'acher. Im Kein Lo Mali Kol Echad Mehem, why do I need all these, why do I need additional sources for the same point? On the side of the Gemara text, immediately to the right hand side, you see a star. You align this with the star above, and you can see where this quote is coming from. V'hoya b'cho chet, v'lo b'korbon cho chet. This being a quote from the source above, we now ask, as we saw in our introduction, the questions. And note, this is a long question. The Gemara asks, v'ho mehocha nafka, this point that the korban remains untinged as a result of the owner violating Baal Ta'acher, is it learned from here? Mida Achirim Nafka, it's learned from another source, a source authored by the Achirim. Tesanyo Achirim Oimrim, the opinion known as the Achirim say, Yochol Yehe Bechor Shavro Shnoso Kipsula Hamukdoshim V'Yifsal. Maybe before we continue reading, we should just note the idea of a bechor, which is a firstborn male animal that is given to a kohen and is offered as a sacrifice, unless it became blemished. So there's a Rashi that says she'ovro shna. So you can see Rashi just a few lines down from where we are right now. Mitzvoso besoch shnoso, the mitzvah, the Torah expectation is that within a year of the birth of the Bechor, it is brought as a sacrifice. Shenemar, lifnei Hashem Elokecha tochlenu shana b'shana. So the Achirim, in focusing on a Bechor, raised the question, is it so that a Bechor whose time has passed, Sha'ov Rosh Naso, as we saw in Rashi, you're expected to bring it on time, i.e. within the year. Should we say it's Kipsule Hamukdoshim V'Yivsal? Is it, it's like a blemished animal and would become inherently unfit and be unacceptable? After all, Rashi adds, interestingly, that when a year goes by, you can almost always assume that in the passage of a year, you will have three holidays having gone by, so that you in effect have a Baal Ta'acher situation. So would the Baal Ta'acher render the animal unfit as if it were a blemished animal. Talmud Loimar, the Pasuk says, V'yochaltu lifnei Hashem Elokecha, and there are a few words that are missing here, just an abbreviated quote, Masar degoncha tiroshcha v'yitzrecha v'choris b'korcha v'tzonecha. So in this Pasuk, you see a reference to Meiser Dagon, which is tithes of grain, and a reference to Bechoros, firstborn animals. Makish Bechor l'Meiser. The Torah is comparing one to another. Ma Meiser. Meiser is the Meiser Dagon. Eino nifsal mishona lechaverta. If one did not tithe his produce, his grains in the first year, so he has another 2 years in which to fulfill the tithes. That is based on Psukim, and Rashi quotes the Pasuk, Miktzei Shaloshonim. If a person delayed in his tithing, he still has time to tithe, even in the next year, even a year after that. So just like Meiser Dagon is not Eino Nifsal Mishonel Chaverta, Af Bechor Eino Nifsal Mishonel Chaverta, so too the Bechor is not Nifsal from 1 year to the next. What are we then saying? That even though Baal Ta'acher has taken place, nevertheless the Korban itself is rendered unfit. So I learn that principle from this Pasuk, the Achirim's Drasha, the Achalto Lifnei Hashem Elokecha. What then do I need the Drasha V'hoya B'chochet for? Itzrich. I need the additional drasha of the Hoya B'chochet that we featured above in our Brisa. Salka Daita Chamina, had I had just the Bechor source, the Acherim source, I would have thought, Hani Mili Bechor, that this leniency that the animal is not ruined is limited to a Bechor. The Lav Bar Hartzohu, it is not a type of sacrifice that comes for appeasing, for atonement, or even as a gift. Rather, a Bechor is something that's whose sanctity is automatic upon the animal's birth. So it's not a bar hartzah. It doesn't fit into the category of other sacrifices. Avol kachim de b'nei hartzah ninu, but other kinds of sacrifices like an olah or a shlamim that one brings for atonement purposes or for as a gift to the Almighty, things like that, amol lo lirtzu. I might have said that they do become rendered unfit. After all, since an avera took place, the owner delayed in bringing them, that would render them unfit. Komash Molon, that's why I need the drasha of V'hoya B'chochet. So in the meantime, we have B'chor has its source, and other korbanos have their source, that they do not become ruined just because the owner violated Baal Ta'achir. But still, Ve'akati, but still, we continue at the top of Vav Amud Aleph. Mide Ben Azai Nafka. This halacha seems to be learned from a Ben Azai source. Desanyo Ben Azai Omer. Ben Azai cites a posuk. There's only one word from the posuk that's cited, the word oisoi. But just by way of background, the posuk is coming in the context of pigul. This is a type of sacrifice that was processed with wrongful intentions. And we're not going to get into details, but that's enough for right now. It's called pigul. And the posuk says, Rashi quotes the posuk, lo yerotze hamakriv oisoi lo yechoshev. So we continue. Oisoi, ma tamud lomar. What does the word oisoi in that posuk teach me? Lefi, shenemar lo sacher l'shamo. There is a posuk that we are quite familiar with already. Devarim perichov gimel posuk hopeis. It says, do not delay. Shome ani af ma'achir nidro b'val yerotzeh. I would have thought that, well, if one does violate Baal Ta'achir, so the korban is b'val yerotzeh, is not acceptable. Just like we see in the case of a pigul sacrifice, a sacrifice processed with wrongful intentions becomes unacceptable. The korban itself is unacceptable. So I would think that lo sacher l'shamo, delayed sacrifice also becomes itself unfit. Talmud lomar oisoi. Hence you have the word oso, which is a limitation expression in the context of pinkul, oisoi below yerotzetz. That kind of korban, the wrongful intention sacrifice that's rendered unfit, the aim acher nidra below yerotzetz. However, the delayed sacrifice, that is not rendered unfit. So there you go. You've got another source for that idea that Baal Ta'achir does not affect the korban itself. So I can learn that point from Ben Azai's source. So what are we going to then do with our pasuk of v'hoya b'chochet, where we darshan v'lo b'korban chochet? What is that going to mean now? Elo b'chochet v'loy b'ishtechochet. You are considered a sinner, but your wife is not going to be considered a part of that. Now, you might be wondering, what in the world does one's wife have to do with this? So the Gemara gives us the background. Salka daita chamina. I would have thought, without this drasha, hayo v'yom Rabbi Yochanan v'yitem Rabbi Elazar, since Rabbi Yochanan and some versions have Rabbi Elazar saying, ein ishto shel adam mesa elim kein mevakshin mimenu momon v'yein lo. A person's wife can end up dying if she's married to a person that made vows, made promises to pay money, to donate money, and he ends up not donating that which he was expected to, where they seek out the payment from him and he doesn't have it. Shenemar, the pasuk says, im ein l'chol l'shalem lomo yikach mishkovcha mitachtecha. If you don't have the means of paying it, why did you vow, which could result in the mishkovcha, is a reference to one's wife, she'll be taken from you. So we see, for, we'll say, phony pledge takers, their wives can end up dying. Emo b'hai ovon debal tacher nami ishto mesa. I might have thought that one who delays in fulfilling his vows, one's wife could also end up dying as a result. Kol mashmalon, therefore, this comes to tell me, the b'chochet comes to tell me, you are a sinner, and the sin is not relevant to ishticha. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.